Generating traffic and sales can be a challenge for online merchants. But selling on the Walmart Marketplace puts your products in front of millions of customers who shop on Walmart.com. And right now, sellers who join Walmart Marketplace can save up to 50% on referral and fulfillment fees for the first 90 days. So get started today. Head over to marketplace.walmart.com/savings. That's marketplace.walmart.com/savings.
Welcome to E-Commerce Conversations, a podcast by Practical E-Commerce.
What is going on, Internet? Eric Van Hulst back again with another E-Commerce Conversations. Hope all is going well on the other side of the Internet. On the other side of the table from me, longtime friend, Ryan. Ryan McGinn.
Welcome. I'm welcoming myself.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
I'm super stoked. Flew in here from Florida.
Yep. Today you're like, hey, you want to be on the podcast? I was like, yeah, I got some miles.
Yeah. It's been a long time, probably like 2 or 3 years since
since we hung out or talked. And I always tell people how I met you. I was like, he had the best suit at StyleCon.
Really? No.
Well, because you had the slimmest one there.
Yeah. Well, I'm a skinny guy.
I'm like all about skinny jeans and skinny pants.
Oh, yeah. You were wearing like the distressed denim.
Yeah. Well, I was more, you know, whatever was popular at that time to get attention. That's kind of what was my MO on YouTube. So, you had the, I think it was a navy suit, but it was like really slim fit. And I was like, oh, you can get suit pants slim to make you look good.
Well, they were hard to get on. Like, getting my foot through the bottom of those pants are pretty challenging.
That's how I deal with all my pants. with suit pants especially, because you can't, they don't stretch.
So. Yeah. Well, we're not here to talk about suit pants.
But that's how I remember you. That's how we met. Like, before, I knew who you were just based on, I'd seen you on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
I think at the end, I was like, oh, that's Eric with Beard Brand. I was like, he's got the coolest suit. And then we just started talking back in the back room because we were all speaking. So
yeah. Well, I remember taking that photo of you at one of the after.
Oh, yeah. And it became still my profile.
Is it really?
I think on Facebook, because I'm not a Facebooker anymore. Now it's like it's all Instagram or TikTok.
Yeah. Like shot the light off the ceiling and had some cool light on.
That wasn't my picture for a long time when you shot that with your little tiny camera. The coolest camera at the time.
Yep. So you're doing TikTok now. What's the name of your business?
We actually just named it.
Because I was like, I don't even know.
Yeah, I didn't have a name for it. So, and just to give it some context for everybody listening, it went from zero to $500,000 in 1 year, and I had no name and no website, and it was just people that knew we were doing it behind the scenes. And I was torn between two names, but we decided on viraledits.co. So that will be the website at some point. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get a website up, but Viral Edits is the name of the company.
Yeah, I mean, like your website are, you know, like the accounts that you're managing, right?
And it became kind of crazy because if I put an ad out or if I put a website out or if I even talked about me doing it on my own social channels, I can't handle the work. Like it's getting to the point now where I can handle the work because I've scaled myself and, you know, have more employees now. But when it started, it was like holding on to a rocket. And I'm like, holy crap, how do I manage this?
For a little bit of disclosure, we've been working with Ryan for, I guess it's going on like 7 months now.
Yeah, almost a year.
Almost a year. And he just exclusively does our TikTok account. And he takes absolutely no hand-holding at all. And I think he'd prefer it that way, too.
We work with a lot of big influencers and big brands. I prefer working with people that have a constant stream of content coming in, as in you're doing multiple videos on YouTube per week, and they're of the higher quality fashion. For a couple of reasons, like yourself, like you understand good content. And even though there's this misconception that TikTok is very easy and it's like, could be lower quality. Like I completely disagree with that because high quality cameras, good filming, good setups work significantly well against videos filmed on phones. So like I prefer working with people that understand the workload involved in content because then they generally leave me alone because they know it's hard. They know it takes some time to figure things out. But then when we do figure it out, I mean, we get a lot of followers. We get a lot of views really fast.
Yeah. So I mean, we're fortunate. We have like 1,000 videos or something like that. And I know you've dug up some of my like really old content.
We do. We like to find the gems.
Yeah.
We work with a lot of like repurposers, which is what, you know, we consider you guys because we either have two ties. We either film directly for the platform or like film these videos. This is kind of in your niche with these that do well. Or then you just have a mountain of content. And I have a lot of other clients that have a mountain of content. Like we have usually two people working on accounts at a given time. One person's watching videos, the other person's editing videos. And it's like a streamlined system that has taken a while to kind of hone in, but it's been fun.
So. I mean, listen to this job description that Ryan puts out. Come work at my company and watch YouTube all day long. Like that is your job.
That's been the hardest position to fill.
Really?
And well, from a couple standpoints, like, I mean, because you know, it's like, I mean, I know you have a copywriter, but it's like when you hire a copywriter, it's like, you know, you're hiring like specific like e-com copywriter, one that can write product descriptions. So it's like, for me, it's like, okay, I'm hiring basically somebody that understands videos and understands marketing, but all you're doing is watching YouTube videos. And it's like this mind numbing job of watching YouTube videos. But if you don't pay attention, then you're going to miss the 3 second clip that we're looking for, which is the hook of the video. And then we build the video around it. Like, I mean, that's the secret. We find the most polarizing thing that is done or said in a video, and then we build a video around it. And normal video editors can't do that. And normal people can't watch a video from a marketing perspective and go, that's the hook.
Yeah.
Like, whereas right now it's me and Luis. He's a friend of mine, works with the company now. He's one of my partners in the company. And like, he's significantly good at that skill set. So
he's usually the person watching the videos.
Yeah. I mean, now we've streamlined the whole thing down to, like, we have me and him doing timestamping, which is what that is, because I mean, I can't say all the clients we work with, but a lot of the clients are massive. So it's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, NDAs and legalities and like the level at which they are. If we post the wrong thing or if something is taken out of context, even though it is TikTok and it's attention, it could really negatively tarnish that person's brand. I pride myself in taking care of that for them. You know, we get away with a lot because it's men's grooming. So you can't really fuck that up.
Well, you know, you'd be surprised. But you can still say the wrong thing.
Yeah. So we're trying to build that out because most people that come to us now are big brands on YouTube. They have a lot of clients or they have a lot of videos out there and they're like, we don't want to do shit. Just take it and work your magic. Everybody says you can make viral videos and grow my following really fast. And I'm like, yeah, we can do that. But there's a lot of intricacies. Like, you know, is the footage film like the older footage? Although there's good stuff in there. Generally speaking, it's not high enough quality. When we crop in for the TikToks, it's going to pixelate. It's going to look like shit. It's going to be low lighting. It's not going to perform. So we focus more on the newer videos for everybody, but it takes a constant stream of content, you know. But yeah, I mean, we're pretty good at it, me and Luis. I would say Luis is better than me at it. I'm glad that he is because I don't want to do it. But it's like my role right now is to make sure all my editors have a never-ending stream of video clips to pull from, because we tried making editors do that and the editors are good at editing.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of commiserate with that. I think it's been a really challenging thing for us at Beard Brand is, you know, really maintaining our video editors. That's the one role we've seen the most turnover at Beard Brand. I think either they get bored after a year and they move on to other projects or like they burn out.
Yeah, we're dealing with, I mean, this just being, I like to be transparent. Like, I manage the mental health of my editors. Like, I feel like that's a huge priority for me because I am an editor. Like, I know how to edit videos. I know what it takes. And for me, it was like the only thing that made me feel better about the amount of videos that I was editing and how burnt out I felt was if I was making more money from editing those videos.
Yeah.
So like, I pride myself, like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you grow TikToks. That's so awesome. And now you're growing Reels and now you're doing YouTube Shorts. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But I pay my editors really fucking well.
Yeah.
And they're happy to like work all night to, you know, get videos done. And
is there like a bonus structure for the amount of views?
Yeah, we've tested a few things. So I mean, I do a base salary for a monthly amount of videos. So, like, for example, everybody starts with, it's two clients, which is for us, we do 25 fresh videos a month and 5 reposts. And reason we do reposts for those listening is reposts. If you get a video that pops off one time, it will continue to pop off many times. So we factor in that we're going to post every single day, but we're going to factor in 25 new videos, 5 reposts. And so the average reader does around 50 videos a month when they start with us, which should take them like an hour and a half to 2 hours a day. Cause most of our edits take about an hour. I mean, that's another thing most people don't realize. They're like, oh, it's just short form. You're just clipping it. It's like, yeah, I've edited videos for 6 hours that are 30 seconds long.
Right.
You know, so we treat it like it's a actual work of art masterpiece for the client for everything we do. My videos included, like I've edited my own videos for hours, like to the point where like my clients now expect what they see on mine on theirs. And I'm like, oh, that shit took like 6 hours. I ain't doing that on yours. But yeah, so we started doing that. So we do the base salary and you start like $1,200 a month. We were talking about to like 2000. And that's like 2 to 3 clients, which is 50 to 75 videos a month. And then it goes up to, you know, where you're doing 100 to 150 videos a month. And that's your full time. And it's based more on performance. So everybody gets access. We do for every 1 million viewed video you get, it's $100 bonus.
Yeah.
And I work in every single niche. So it's not skewed. And we grade accounts on tiers based on who the person is. Because, you know, for example, I mean, we do Aaron's. Like Aaron Marino is a unicorn.
Yeah.
I mean, he got 5 videos in a row last week and 1 million views.
Yeah. Yeah, like people are fighting over like...
Yeah, they want to edit the unicorns. Yeah. You know, and I want that, but it's like it's a trust factor too with the bigger clients. And I'm testing different structures. And I mean, you work with high level people. So like if anybody's listening to this and like can give me insights on this, like it's so new, you know, so we have like we grade accounts A, B, or C, you know, A being like you have a high likelihood of every video hitting a million. And then you have B and C, which is like B is like your average account. Like my account kind of falls into a B where it's like I may get 1, maybe 2 million view videos a month. And then the C is like a brand new account. Like we don't know what to expect yet. And the goal is to get a million view videos as fast as possible to kind of see where the account goes. So, you know, the A accounts are 5 million. So if you get 100 albums, you get a 5 million view video or above. Like, and then it's 1 million for the Bs and then 500K for the Cs.
Okay. So there's like kind of lower threshold. Yeah. Cause it's a little more fair.
Yeah. I mean, I have one girl that is on Aaron's account and she'll slam her 10. And we limit, like, and this is where like, I'm testing this. We bonus up to 10 videos a month.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like an extra $1,000. If the person is slamming that 10 every month, then I'm talking to them about raising their salary and giving them more clients.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I try to kind of circle back. Like, I want you to have the bonuses, but I also want you to just bring it all the time.
Yeah. Do they like that? Because when I think of like video editors, I think of like this creative person that, you know, does it for the craft and the art form, not so much for the money.
It's been weird because I look for video editors. At first, I think like when I'm hiring video editors, or like when they like, I get a lot of inflow now. Like people want to work. Like they're like they find out what we're doing. They're like, I want to do it. And so the first thing I look for in a video editor is their Instagram. And I'm not looking for like a big following.
Yeah.
I'm looking for people that actually put effort into their own content, knowing they're not making any money from it. Because I've been a content creator for a long time. You have as well. Yeah. You make thousands of videos and you don't make any money, and then one day you just make a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's the reality of content creation. So I look for people that take care and pride in what they're doing.
Well, not only that, it's the grind. Like, can you grind?
Yeah. Because it's like, I want to know that and trust you that I can, okay, like, hey, this video is like, there's some spelling errors. Like, can we get that fixed right now? Like, I mean, I was out with a friend last night eating dinner, and one of my videos, because I still edit some of the bigger clients, I'm trying not to edit at all, but like, the girl that does the posting, we have a poster. Like, we have 7 phones. That's another problem that nobody realizes. So she's like, hey, there's a spelling error. Can you fix this? And I was literally at a bar having a drink with my friend. I said, okay, give me 10 minutes. I walked to the car, I opened my laptop, hotspot from my phone, fix the video, re-upload it to Dropbox, and then send it back to her.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of expect that from my editors without saying that. So, like, I know Luis, and I know Savannah is another one that works for me. Their laptops are with them pretty much all times.
Yeah.
I don't expect that from them, but I pay them very well. So I'm like, can you do this?
Yeah. I think the beauty is like, as long as you're consistent, you set the expectations up front, like that's what the culture is. You know, there are people who love to work. And wait, are we in 2021 yet? 2022?
22, yeah. In like 10 days or something.
Yeah. And probably by the time this posts, we'll be in a new year. I think it's okay to like have high expectations for work. And I don't know, workers don't have to be coddled.
I don't like to coddle either. Like, I just like to lead by example, I guess. Like, I try my best. I don't want people to think that I'm lazy. I don't want to be too flashy. Like, I like that angle, but it's like, I mean, I myself have had to change personally in the last year just because now I'm managing 7 employees and like trying to like figure all that out. But like, I just want them to know that like I grind. Like, yeah. And if you're not going to do it, that means I'm doing it and I'm going to do it because they're my clients. And like, it's my reputation on the line. Like, a video is not going to get posted, and then the client's going to text me. Like, they're not texting you, they're texting me, and I don't have a good excuse other than my editor shit the bed, and I have to tell them that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I did it, and I stayed up all night, you know, to fix it. I like to have that mentality, and that I just want to show that. I'd rather be it than say it. And like, I had to define like video editor job roles in the last like month or two now, because I just gave a bunch of raises to my editors because they were crushing it. And like, I did my year end performance reviews. So I'm like, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, you do these at the end of the year. And then everybody was super happy. Like, but what I don't do is there's no schedules whatsoever, which a lot of video editors, like, that's one of the problems. Like, they don't like to be confined.
Right.
They're very creative. Some work all night.
Are you doing remote? Like, everything's remote now?
Luis and Savannah, they've been kind of with me for a long time. Savannah was actually my personal videographer when I was like doing the more like day in the life stuff. And I mean, I met her at a coffee shop locally, and she had her own YouTube channel, and she understood that short, punchy editing, but she wasn't making any money. And she was like kind of frustrated, and her parents were making her go get a job.
Go get a job, yeah.
And I was like, well, I could pay you like $1,000 a month to follow me around with a camera. and like edit my videos. Is that enough? And she said, yeah. And I was like, cool. And then we became friends, and like now she's, I would consider like my little sister. And then Luis, he came to a bunch of events that I spoke at, and I got to know him. And like when I started the TikTok agency, I guess right around right before the pandemic started was like where I kind of got serious with it, like saw the opportunity. And I asked him, and he had been through a couple of my editing trainings that I had at the time, which not that many people went through. So like it stuck out to me that he did that because they didn't sell that well right. In the reality of things. And he was good at it, and he was doing his own stuff. And I kept seeing him do his own stuff. I knew he wasn't making that much money. And then I just said, hey, I'm starting this. I need some help. I can't pay you a lot right now. Like, I just started this. I think I was making like $2,000 a month from like two clients. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, luckily I had savings and I was like bootstrapping around to do it. And I said, I'll pay you $500 a month to help me with this account. And he said, yeah. And he lived in San Diego at the time. And it was right when California was about to go crazy. He got in his Prius and drove here and he moved to Florida.
Yeah.
Been here ever since. And now he's 5% of the company.
Nice.
And I saw special things in those two. Like, and then now I have like Cody, who she's like my operator slash assistant. She's kicks ass too. I have another girl, Kim, who does full-time editing. She runs a dog nonprofit and she loves that she can edit at night and run her dog nonprofit during the day. And she's like, you've helped fund a lot of dogs. Yeah. I was like, I had no idea. But it's been wild. But I mean, I fired a lot of editors, not necessarily because of their work ethic, but just that they couldn't get this type of editing.
Yeah. So marketing, it's a hook and really storytelling in 30 seconds. Like, yeah. How do you do that?
And that's like, we do that with yours. Like it's, there's a beginning, middle, end to every video. And it's just like, I mean, we've templatized viral videos it's scary how predictable a lot of things are when the right person says something, you know, like, but it's a beginning, like, you know, it's a hook, it's content or value, very fast, very punchy. And then there's no call to action. It just ends. Like, and you don't know when the video is ending. It's just like slamming into a wall and then you're watching it again. And they're like, oh, that was 100% watch time.
Well, there's some crazy ones. Like Peter McKinnon did this one where he had this brilliant intro where he came in from a water fountain and then he, you know, sat down and he talked about a product. And then it was this like highly concentrated coffee.
I remember that. Yeah.
And then he goes and he drinks it and he's like, ah, and he has to go spit it out.
And then he comes back.
And then he comes back. And I'm like, I just watch this all over again.
Yeah. The loops are good. We did a lot of loops. I mean, we try to focus on your account's a little bit different. Like for us, like we mainly focus on the talking heads, like the educators, but we found like we couldn't scale the fancy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, then I consider looping videos kind of fancy stuff. They take a lot of creative thought.
Yeah, you have to plan it in advance.
Yeah. And so we were found ourselves like not being able to just keep up with that. So we focus a lot on topics. And that was something as a company, we have a full-time researcher. I have a viral strategist. That's kind of Luis's new role. We're moving him into that.
Yeah.
And it's really the job of the viral strategist is, okay, one, you watch all the clients' videos and you find the clips. And two, you go in and you're actually in TikTok and you're seeing what's popular. And we're not talking about trends and hashtags. I don't even go in that area. Because again, I can't like text you and say, hey, Eric, you need to do this trend tomorrow.
Right.
Like you're running a business. You're running a company. Like I can't text my other clients and say, like, Grant Cardone, for example, he's on a jet somewhere. Right. I'm like, bro, you need to film this video. Like, I need you to do it. It's like, no, he's not going to fucking do it. Like, I need to figure something else out. So we just started looking at like the topics and what's popular on Reddit and like culture. And then, you know, we'll just send a list and like, it's like, hey, out of this, like there's probably five in there that are going to significantly do better than the other 20.
Yeah.
And we see it time and time again. And we pick out two or three that do well. Can you make this video five different ways? Because this shit works. And we've done that over and over again for all the clients. And it takes a little bit to figure that out on the accounts. You know, some people catch a trend and it blows up. And it's like, okay, well, you're 18 years old and you're half naked and you're dancing and you're hot. So that works for you.
Right.
You know, but like myself, for example, I'm a 38-year-old middle-aged guy with a daughter and a fiance. What am I going to fucking do? Okay. You know, and it always comes down to good information, highly shareable stuff. Like, for your account, beard and grooming hacks, like those little hacks, like here's how to get the perfect chin strap line. Here's
it's
how
been
to
like a million times I've seen it. Yeah. It hits like every time.
Every single time. Because it's a good video, like with Alpha's account. He has, you know, just like the bad boy stuff, like wear these three shirts, like super tactical. You know, like we attract a lot of higher end business owner, like more higher concept people that make a lot of money. But their accounts, like for us, so like we Zoom with them too. Like, so we started a new thing. It's like, if the first batch of videos we get just doesn't do that well, I'm like, okay, I need an hour of your time. Let's get on Zoom. Me or Luis will do it. Like, we do it now. And we're probably going to hire somebody in to do that. We'll just sit there and like let you film the video in front of us. And they'll be like, tell me more about this.
Yeah.
And what we're looking for is to get the tacticality out of what they say. Because, for example, people that are successful or like, you know, marketers per se are like, yeah, I journal every day to be successful. And we're like, okay, cool. Well, that doesn't really help anybody that doesn't know about journaling.
Right.
So from a TikToker is like, they're instantly like, well, fuck that guy. I don't journal. I don't know what to say. So if you say, do this when you journal every day, use a blue pen, not a black pen, blue pen. It's more expressive. You got to get your creative side out. Use an online notebook because you don't want to confine yourself to lines. Then, you know, write your name 25 times every morning. Why? Because you're awesome. Say your name. Just write it down. Feel that awesome power. And it's like, but that breaking that down step by step is what makes videos go viral and it's what gets them shared.
Yeah. And then the people viewing it, like it brings them value.
Yeah. Too. It's like, okay. They're like, I can write my name every day. Let's try it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a kind of a stupid example, but like I had a 4.1 million view video. And that's like, we were talking earlier, like crazy things happen. Like I said, you know, one of my goals for your account is like, man, it'd be great to get 1 million followers by the end of the year. And I think you're a little over 700K now. So it's like, yeah, 300,000 followers. Sounds like a lot, but like I edited a video that got 48 million views and got to go 600,000 followers in 48 hours. I'm like, so it's possible, but what's going to do that? You know, and it's like, okay, so it has to be something that like that video got like 50,000 shares.
Yeah. Well, so Ryan, the thing I really like about your agency, I hate calling it an agency because I don't really even think of it an agency, is like you're doing all the things that no other agency is doing. Like you're actually watching the people's content. You're understanding it. Like so many agencies out there. And if there's any agencies that listen, like this is the opportunity, because as a brand owner, I hate coming in and telling you exactly how to do your job. And then you just bitch and complain about not having enough content. And it's like, Ryan understands the content. He understands what works. And then he just goes and he does it. And then if there's something he's missing, he goes and he asks for it. And he tells you like, here's the blueprint to do it. So
I guess that's because what's different is most agency owners, and I'm not going to say that I consider myself a successful content creator from like a size perspective. I mean, I got started, you know, editing videos about BMX training and selling DVDs out of my backpack. Like, but the only thing that sold DVDs was me making videos of the same exercise that were in the DVDs that I was selling. The irony of that is incredible. And so I had to make videos. And then I also put my face on camera. So I understand what it's like to get destroyed in the comments. Like I understand what it's like to have every insecurity that you have blasted on the internet on every video. And then I got into YouTube. I mean, that's how we met with style and fashion. But one thing is like, I've never really fit inside the box, like with my thinking, my way of looking, my dress, like tattoos. Like I've always been a little slightly eccentric and expressive, if you will. And when I saw videos, it was like the opportunity to like, oh, I can get attention with this. And, you know, maybe it's a narcissist in me. Like, it was like, I love getting attention on my videos. And when I started in style and fashion, I was like, I'm not going to compete with Aaron and Antonio. They're massive. Even back then, they were massive. So I'm like, what's different? I was like, well, these guys are kind of telling guys how to get laid, but they're not saying it.
Right.
So like, you can go back to my YouTube channel. The first video that comes out, here's how to be handsome in the next 30 days. And I use clickbait. I use subject lines. I was a marketer. So I'm like, wear this shirt, get laid. The three shoes that make women want to fuck you. Like I just went ham. And all of a sudden I had 20,000 followers on YouTube and the entire dating industry was following me. I was inside the back ends of all these pickup products and like doing fashion stuff. So I was selling products and I created a digital book. So like I understood the attention, but I also know what it's like to get like destroyed and made fun of and be taken out of context. So I'm like, I feel like when I talk to like, you know, you or I talk to Aaron or I talk to my other clients, it's like, I'm not going to let you get taken out of context. Like I've been there, and especially on TikTok, like the culture on TikTok, just it's angry and it's,
they're looking for someone to make.
Yeah. Like they hate you. And so from a brand standpoint, like it could really harm somebody if they don't have somebody that cares about that. And so like, I understand that. I also know the work that's involved in creating the content because I've done it my whole life, like, or not my whole life, but a sizable 10 years of my life have been spent making videos. So I'm like, okay, this is what works. And also I don't want to charge somebody if I'm not getting results. I mean, like, you know, we were talking about Alex Hormozi a little bit ago, like listening, if you don't follow Alex Hormozi, like you should, he's like one of my clients, but he was like, you have to do what others won't. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. And we've taken so many accounts to 100K so fast that like, I wanted to guarantee people 100,000 followers. And like, thankfully I haven't done that yet, but I mean, that's the way my mindset. And I was like, you know, I'm going to charge a premium price. I'm going to guarantee you the followers. And if I don't deliver on this, I'm not going to charge you again until I do.
Yeah.
Because I don't want people to pay me for half-ass work or like not the results that I say.
Let's talk about your clients a little bit. Like you clearly have a model that works. How do you make sure that your clients are going to be a good fit and you're not just wasting your time working with someone who's not going to see success on TikTok?
At the end of the day, I try to control what I can control, like, or my team can control. And that's, we always want, regardless of if a video we make goes viral or gets a lot of views, we have to look at the video and go, this is a good video. Like, I want every video that we post, the client to like the video for one and want to use it for other things. Like, we look at each video like it could be an ad here. It could be this here. It could be. So that's one thing I always focus on. Like, look, regardless of if these videos get any views, is this the best video we can do with what we are given? You know, and then it's the type of client. It's like, okay, I personally like working with people that are already big on YouTube.
What is big to you? Is that like 100,000?
I mean, when you hit like 250,000 above on YouTube, I feel like most everybody at that level has a very sufficient business based around that channel.
Yeah.
At 100K, I think people are still starting to figure it out. I don't want to discredit anybody under that or like from 100 to 250, but they kind of just hit it and they haven't really figured out a monetization strategy yet.
Right.
And the reason I look for that is because with TikTok specifically, it's the Wild West. It's hard to monetize TikTok right now in the essence of like the way you would monetize YouTube. But what it is massive exposure.
Yeah.
So like when I go in, I'm like, one, I don't like to pitch anything or lie to the people. I'm like, look, I'm being fully transparent. If you're trying to make money right now from this, you're probably not. But if you want to grow really, really fast and you want to get as much exposure as possible and you want to grow all your other social platforms with real followers, actual organic people that care about you, then TikTok's for you. I said, but I can't guarantee you an ROI from this. Like that's, I'm not in the business of ROI. Right. Like I know how to monetize. I'm behind the scenes of a lot of accounts. I see what they're doing. You know, so I try to be upfront with that and say, like, let me just grow you as fast as I can and then worry about the money later. Because when everybody came on Instagram 5 years ago, nobody cared about Instagram and nobody can monetize Instagram. Look at Instagram now.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have 100,000 followers on Instagram, it's like you're kind of a piece of shit.
I mean, the reality is it's like the gold mine. There's a lot of great land out there now, but eventually, you know, all the claims are going to be signed up and then you're going to be you know, fighting over.
So I look for the clients that are, they're not in it for the quick money. They want the more longevity. They want the more brand exposure. And that, in my experience, has come from people with the bigger followings because they also understand content from a perspective of, you know, they're hiring this out because they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and as an agency, that's my sole focus is short form content. When they look at our videos, you can look at them and go, that's not a quick video to make.
Yeah.
And that, I pride myself on that because that's where I can stand out above. I mean, I started doing manual subtitles when nobody was doing subtitles. Like they didn't even have an in-app thing. And I actually, the funny story behind that, I got attacked by the deaf community on my own TikTok for not having subtitles. And I didn't understand why, because I'm like, well, you're on an app that is video. I'm sorry, I don't want to offend you. But like, don't you have an app for that? Because that's your disability, not right. Like, you know, and I thought about it. I was like, man, that was kind of selfish of me. So then I was like, that was the pivotal point where I'm like, I'm going to have the most obnoxious subtitles anybody's ever seen. And what I did when I started doing that was, one, all my engagement and my watch time went through the roof. But I also created another hour of editing for myself and my team members. So they're still mad at me about that. But when you see that stuff, there's like a meme right now. I would say it's a meme, but like in all the marketing groups, like because we run like Grant Cardone's, we run Alex Ramosi's, we run Aaron Marino's, we run Beard Brand. And we have a very distinct style of subtitle.
Right.
And everybody wants to know what app it is. Well, it's not an app.
It's a Premiere.
Like, right? Well, actually, we can talk about software. Most of my people don't work on Premiere.
Oh, really?
I prefer they don't, actually, because it's slower. But we edit the subtitles by hand.
Yeah.
And they take a while. Like, we do them all the way through, and then we go back through, and we edit in. Each line has a certain emotion to it. So we try to find an emoji that works there, or we find an accompanying picture. If somebody says something that doesn't fit the context of what we can show, we go and try to find some statistics or something. So we're screen capturing stuff. All this is like a human brain sitting there like for 2-3 hours on your video.
What software y'all use to edit?
So I personally use ScreenFlow to edit,
okay. Which
is a screen recording software for Mac. They have one for PC. It's called Camtasia. I only use that because when I started this, I didn't have any employees. And I was a Premiere Pro guy. And I had the screen recording software because I did a lot of screen captures for like my business. And I started just using it for editing because I was editing 5-6 videos a day and it was like back to back to back edits, and Premiere would crash at least once or twice throughout like 5 hours of editing. Like I'd get the spinning wheel of death on my computer because I was starting to max out on my storage. It was just like all these little things would add up to where if I could cut all of that out, I would save an hour a day. Mm-hmm. So I deleted Premiere off my computer. I started using ScreenFlow specifically for my edits. It's a less bulkier software. It strips everything down to the basics, which you can't have anything fancy on TikTok videos because it's too fast. Like the nice transitions, the color correction, like the crazy effects you can do in that.
Yeah.
People try to do that like on TikTok and they look cool. But yeah, it's just jump cuts. Like if a transition takes a half a second to 1 second to happen, like that person's already swiped away. Yeah. So we just jump cut, which you don't need a special software to do that. You don't need a special software to hand by hand write in subtitles. So I convince, like, I don't convince, but I say, I don't care what you edit on when you come work for me, like Final Cut, Premiere, DaVinci, like those are the three big ones that everybody comes with. Like, but if you really want to get faster, use ScreenFlow.
And are they doing that?
Two of them are. I don't want to force anybody to change.
Right. Yeah. That's, I mean, like, that's a big thing.
Yeah, it's a big thing. But if you're newer, like I almost prefer newer editors that aren't as experienced because these videos are simple. Like as a company, like what makes us valuable? And that's why, like, I don't really talk about the edits.
Yeah.
It's our hooks. It's the way we structure the videos. It's the fact that we have somebody watching the videos that understands the content, that's posting on the account, that sees the comments, that knows what it's like. Hey, this video was taken out of context. It got a lot of negative comments, but they were only saying it because of this. Can we find a video on Beer Brand where they maybe went over this? Do you think they have one? And then we go to your thing and we search for it. Those are the things that make us unique.
Yeah.
And that's just human beings.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, like we had our own in-house video editors and we went with you guys just because of like that. I mean, like it's just like we didn't even have that talent in-house. I think we could probably talk for like another 10 hours, but where can people reach out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm an Instagrammer from a communication standpoint. My Instagram is my name, Ryan McGinn, but...
How do you spell that?
R-Y-A-N-M-A-G-I-N.
Okay, no periods or
no
anything.
No beards on Instagram, but my TikTok, I didn't get my username.
Oh, no.
So I have Ryan, period, McGinn. But and the irony of that is I actually have spam accounts because that's a thing on TikTok that people create accounts and they actually have my real username and they spam my videos with like Bitcoin shit.
Oh, jeez.
And it pisses me off. So yeah, and I mean, I love talking like in the DMs on IG. And I mean, my videos are like my trademark. So it's like, if anybody's wants the work, I mean, your account, I have a Rolodex of clients that I'm not going to share all of them publicly, but I'm pretty proud of it that it's built as fast as it has. And
yeah. Yeah. I mean, your work speaks for itself. So I appreciate you coming on board and sharing your lessons. I hope our listeners learned a thing or two, or reach out to Ryan if you want someone to do all the hard things for you.
Awesome.
Because it is hard. This has been another e-commerce conversations. Cheers. Keep on growing.